BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello. For this Moneybox Live podcast, we were thinking there are some words that just go together. Thunder and lightning, toad in the hole, and more recently, turmoil in the mortgage markets. Yes, the turbulence is continuing. Mortgage customers face rising rates and vanishing deals, and a growing number of households are struggling to pay at all, and they're falling into arrears. We're going to hear from some of those people in this programme. On Thursday, of course, we get the latest decision on interest rates from the Bank of England. Many people are desperately hoping there might be a fall, especially since inflation has now dropped to its lowest level in almost 2.5 years. So today on the podcast, we wanted to take a step back and ask, what is going on in the mortgage markets? What do you need to know? And what on earth might happen next? Before we meet today's experts, though, let's hear from our own Dan Whitworth. He's been out to Worcester asking people there how they're coping with their mortgage costs.
So I went from £700 a month to £1,500. I'm not on a fixed because I thought I'd ride it out, but I'm on a 7% from a 1.1. That was October for me, so last few months. And with my bills on top, I'm paying out about £2,000 a month. Everything's just extortionate.
5-year fixed rate. I've only just... Literally, I was had a mortgage about 2 months before the August 22 mortgage explosion, so I'm all right.
And so you're reasonably comfortable with the way you're
getting? Reasonably happy. Three and a half years left to hope that the rates come down, but it's still going to be a 2% increase on what I had.
I have got a mortgage, but I took mine out in 2022. So I was lucky. It was just before it all went pear-shaped.
What are your thoughts about mortgage payments? Not necessarily just for you, yeah, but about people you might know. Do you think struggling with mortgages is going to get more common?
I think nowadays it will unfortunately get more common due to the cost of everything else. So people are going to have to choose. And sometimes, are you going to put food on the table? What are you've got your heating, you've got your outgoings. And sometimes I think they will be coming in arrears, which is not good, is it?
Right, listening to that and joining me today are Sally Mitchell, Senior Mortgage Broker at The Mortgage Mum, Richard Lane from the charity Step Change, and Charlotte Harrison, CEO of Home Financing at Skipton Building Society. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. It's a bit schoolmarmy, isn't it? Good afternoon, Felicity Hannah. Sally, just today we've seen TSB hike selected fixed rate deals by as much as a quarter of a percentage point. Mm-hmm. Nationwide has increased some of its fixed rates as well. What is the mortgage landscape looking like at the moment?
It really is up and down like a jack in the box. You quote those two lenders. Another lender literally today has released some new rates and they've actually reduced. So you know, it's just crazy. And this is what we're dealing with. Everybody has a different set of parameters. Everybody, I believe, is really trying to keep up with this ever-changing market. And if you look at the graphs that I look at that show you the swap rates, which is how we really look at fixed rates.
This is banks lending to each other.
That's right. Now, that looks like a very, very, very dangerous heartbeat at the moment. It is going every week. It's going a little bit up, a little bit down, a little bit up, a little bit down. They just can't seem to settle. Mm. And that causes, you know, great unrest in the market.
Charlotte, you're a mortgage lender. Now, I know no one likes to be asked to predict this stuff. What are you expecting, though, from the Bank of England tomorrow?
I think the expectation is that we won't see any change. So we've had inflation data out today. It's dropped from 4% down to 3.4, which is really encouraging and a really positive sign. My expectation is, and you echoed that in terms of what we just heard on the news with the Chancellor saying, you know, we're going in the right direction being that, but we're not there yet. Mm. So I think the expectation is that we'll see a hold on interest rates tomorrow. But there might be some more positivity and kind of green shoots and signs maybe towards the summer and autumn where we see rate reductions.
Now, arrears are rising. There's growing concern about people struggling to meet their mortgage costs, interest rates at the highest level for almost 16 years. Charlotte, you know what I have to ask you. Skipton offers a 100% mortgage, a deposit-free mortgage. Does that put people at risk?
So, yes, we do. I'm very proud that we offer a 100% deposit-free mortgage. And the key thing with anybody that's borrowing, so whether or not you're borrowing at 100% or at 60%, you are borrowing a sizable debt. And the key thing for any lender, Skipton included, is that we assess affordability on that and we make sure that that's really responsible lending. If I look at our track record mortgage, our zero deposit mortgage, we add additional wraparound around that, which is you have to demonstrate that you have been paying rent equal to or more than what your mortgage payment will be. So for many customers that are currently renting, they're really struggling to save. They desperately want to get onto the property ladder. Rents have increased, 9% year on year. Mm. They're wanting to have some control and certainty over that. I think that's a fantastic solution for them. And we absolutely ensure that we assess all elements of affordability and they can demonstrate it through their rental experience.
Thank you. Richard, this morning, the Office for National Statistics revealed the average UK private rent price increased by 9% in the 12 months to February. Now, we'll talk about the struggles to raise a deposit for a first home later, I'm sure. But that must be causing renters real financial pain.
It is causing huge amounts of pain to people, and unfortunately at Step Change we're not surprised to hear that. Overwhelmingly, the clients who come to us are actually in the private rental sector, and they've had a really tough few years. We're seeing record price rises and often people spending more on their rent than they would do if they were lucky enough to be able to have a mortgage. So they're actually worse off from renting. They're not being able to build up any equity or any capital of their own. The other thing that's really important to recognise is that lots of times if you're falling behind in the private rental sector, you have far less protection than you would if you had a mortgage as well. You know, if you fell behind on your mortgage, you'd probably have a relatively good degree of confidence. You could have a chat with your mortgage provider. They'd be able to provide some support or maybe look to extend the term of your mortgage. Often people in the private rental sector, when they fall behind, face eviction very quickly and a lot of uncertainty and instability that comes with that.
Absolutely. Right, let's go back to mortgages though. Bank of England data shows the number of people who are in mortgage arrears has reached a 7-year high. Now, UK Finance, which represents lenders, makes the point that it's still less than 1% of the total number of mortgages. But obviously for the individuals that are going through it, it's a massive stress. Let's talk to one. Non Evans is a hugely successful athlete from Wales and joins us now. Non, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Well, thank you so much for joining us because you're fascinating. You've represented your nation in wrestling, judo and rugby. You're clearly an absolute powerhouse. But there has been a real change in your situation, hasn't there?
Well, if I was a man, I'd be worth millions.
That's a whole different programme.
Yes, no, it's been... well, I got hit off my bike. I won't go into details. But yes, I'm in... 3 months of mortgage arrears, £601 a month. And I don't know how I'm going to cope with it. My parents have helped me a bit, but they're tired. So it's terrible. And it's not that I can cope with, you know, physical injuries from being hit off my bike, but it's the mental part of it is terrible. You know, I've lost my job. I'm a personal trainer and, you know, I'm struggling. I eat a bag of pasta, not a whole bag of pasta, but it's terrible. Mm. I don't know what to do about it, you know?
So, and it's because you had this accident, you've been involved in this collision and now you can't work and now you're in arrears. So a completely different position to where you would have expected to be. Have you spoken to your lender? Have you asked what support or forbearance your lender might be able to show?
Yes. So Lloyds Bank, sorry, should I say that word?
Well, we don't have them on, but yes, your bank.
Yes, so they put my credit card on hold, so I haven't got pay arrears on my credit card, but I'm in debt. I've never been in debt in my entire life, and it's hard, you know. I'm struggling to buy food. Sorry, I don't mean to be depressing.
It's
terrible, you know. I had a really good job before COVID. I was on really good money. I was working as a pharmaceutical rep. Like you said, I've played rugby for Wales, etc. Been to the Olympics, Commonwealth Games. And now I'm just... It's affected my... I don't care about my physical health. I can cope with that. But my mental health is... I'm really struggling with that.
Non, thank you so much for explaining your situation to us. Stay with us, because I do want to hear the panel's thoughts on this. Charlotte, what help might lenders be able to offer when something like this, something unexpected, happens to a customer?
Yeah, so first to say, I completely and utterly sympathise with Non's situation, and I can understand that it's a real mental struggle. Great that you've spoken to a lender and pick the phone back up and speak to them, because I can understand that when you've got this financial pressure and mental stress, it can be overwhelming at times, and sometimes we want to close the door on it and think about other things. So really do contact them and speak to them. There are a number of things that we can look at, or they can look at, to help. So that might be some temporary relief. So converting the account to an interest-only basis rather than a full repayment, which would reduce payments. There might be opportunities to extend your mortgage term. So extend the time over which your mortgage borrowing exists, again, which would reduce payments. There's things along, there might be also other elements and benefits that are available to you. So once you've spoken to them and worked out, full income and expenditure, where your money can go, they'll talk to you about an arrangement to pay. There might be some payment holidays and concessionary payments as a bit of short-term relief. Mm. But if this is going to be a longer-term issue, then kind of thinking about planning for that. There is something called support for mortgage interest, which is available through the government. It's a form that you download, you complete your elements, send it to the lender. They'll do the same, and then they can apply for some support on your behalf. The other thing as well is that, and probably invite Richard into this conversation, which is also exploring, not just from a lender's perspective, but what other benefits or any kind of support might be available.
Richard, that's a very good point, isn't it? We're talking about the importance of talking to the lender. Where else could Non get support?
Yeah, absolutely heartbreaking to hear the situation, and about 1 in 10 of the clients who actually come to Step Change say they were managing their finances until an injury or an episode of ill health that's tipped them over the edge financially. So I would say the first thing is to get in touch with someone like Step Change or Citizens Advice, who might be able to signpost you to support for mental health and to focus on getting that addressed and supported as quickly as possible. We can then look through whatever support might be available. Is there benefits that maybe you haven't claimed that you might be entitled to, and go through a full debt advice session to see what your options might be. It might be that you're eligible to apply for something called Breathing Space, which is a government scheme where you get 60 days of respite where there's a kind of a pause on your interest and your charges and any enforcement action. There is also a mental health breathing space, which is a longer term, sort of more intensive type of support that's available to kind of get people a bit of space from their creditors, if that might be appropriate as well. But just to stress, you're not on your own. There are organisations out there, whether it's Step Change, Citizens Advice or other organisations and charities who can help.
Very important message. Non, I hope some of that is helpful. What's the outlook for you? What do you expect to happen?
Well, embarrassingly, I'm on Universal Credit. No offence to people on Universal Credit, but I want to go back to work, be able to pay my mortgage, and that's basically it. Luckily my parents have helped me, but I'm scared I'm going to lose my home.
It's a very scary situation, Non. I hope that you can approach some of those organisations that have been mentioned there, and thank you so much for coming on our programme and explaining your situation. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
As I said, those are arrears, mortgage arrears at a 7-year high, and I've also been speaking to Tom, who's based in Wiltshire.
I got into arrears, and after the government announcement that the banks were going to offer this ability to go on to interest only if you're in arrears, I'd like to just move to an interest only mortgage and pay the arrears, and that would reduce my monthly payments by maybe £500 or £600 and be able to manage that much more easily.
Have you asked your bank?
Yeah, and they won't move me to an interest-only mortgage because I was in arrears before I asked. So the agreement with the government that they made that people could move to interest-only doesn't apply to me. I've now come to an arrangement, but it's a very expensive arrangement. I'm paying my full mortgage plus the arrears as well to be paid off over 2 years.
So that's Tom explaining his situation. Richard, the banks are doing a lot more, aren't they? During COVID, they agreed to allow struggling customers to take those mortgage holidays, to take breaks from repayments. Customers could also move to interest only for 6 months. What kind of help is available now? Because we've got this new thing, don't we? The mortgage charter.
Yeah, there is more help available now, but of course it's not always consistent, even across an individual organisation. Sometimes it depends on what advisor you might chat to about what support you're offered. But I would say there has been a lot of progress. As you mentioned, back in, I think it was June last year, the government announced what's known as the Government Mortgage Charter, which lots of organisations signed up to, which basically committed them to offering additional support, making sure that they were very proactively reaching out to clients who might be struggling, offering to move them to interest only, offering to extend the terms of mortgages, and committing that they wouldn't be moving to repossessions whilst people are struggling. That mortgage charter, I believe, is in place until the summer. We're not sure what will happen after that, but I think it is fair to say there is more support available out there, but it doesn't sound like that is being consistently applied or that everyone is being able to access that, which is why, just to stress that the importance of independent advice, whether it's through a charity like Step Change or someone else, can really help you explore those options and challenge where you think you've maybe not had a decision that is right or fair from your creditor.
Sally, very briefly, Tom would like to move on to an interest-only mortgage to help manage that budgeting. Can he simply remortgage?
He can. He will be the least attractive of clients, though, for a lender because he's got this impairment in his credit history now. It's such a shame that the mortgage charter doesn't help people who are already in arrears because they're the ones who are most desperate. There are specialist lenders that will look at his case as long as he can get back to square one and pay off his arrears. But if he is accepted by one of those, the rates will be much, much higher, unfortunately.
Thank you. OK, let's hear from a first-time buyer now. In fact, he's actually a personal finance journalist, George Nixon. And I spoke to him a little bit before we came on air.
My first year and a half of working in London, I lived with my parents. And rather than paying rent, they basically told me to save. So that helped a lot. And then around that point, I can't remember when, maybe early 2020, I opened a lifetime ISA, which, you know, helped somewhat towards the deposit. And then also I was lucky enough that when I did move out of my parents' house, which was in July 2020, kind of in between COVID lockdowns when I was sick of living in sort of suburban Hertfordshire, I found a place in Putney. It was a 5-bed flat share and it was sort of below market rent of sort of £648 a month at the time. And so I built up a kind of buffer by that point.
How much of a deposit did you have in percentage terms?
So it was 10%, which was £32,500. By the end, between stuff I'd been investing. So, that was another thing. My parents kind of helped do the whole like junior ISA kind of route, which gave me something when I was 18 that I sort of started building on as well.
And do you worry about mortgage rates?
No, to be honest, because, and this is why I think first time buyer point of view, I think the market's holding quite strong, is even mortgage rates starting with a 4 or even a 5 for first time buyers are still like much cheaper than the prospects of renting at the moment. So our mortgage repayments are on a 90% mortgage rate of 4.87 on a 2-year fix is £1,476 a month. Whereas the place we were renting, my girlfriend and I, before we bought this place for a similarly sized 2-bed flat in roughly the same part of London, was £1,775.
Right.
I mean, so there's a big saving to be had.
There's
even
a very big saving.
Higher rates.
Astonishing numbers, the renting costs and the mortgage costs. Charlotte, let's talk about this because high mortgage rates, high house prices, obviously a real challenge for first-time buyers. George has had some help from his family. You've actually done some analysis into how many of those new buyers rely on support from families.
Yeah, so and interesting. So we have stats around the Bank of Mum and Dad. One of the interesting pieces of research that we conducted earlier this year was research for renters, and 4 in 10 renters were going back to live with parents or were considering going back to live with parents to be able to save. We also looked at some research whereby it's not just Bank of Mum and Dad, it's just more broadly family assistance and siblings, so brothers and sisters, accounted for 11% of familial support, which is overtaking grandparents, interestingly.
Really?
So, yeah, so support coming from different places and people still really trying to help one another get onto the property ladder.
Oh, there you go. Be nice to your brother and sister. What about, though, Charlotte, a huge number of people who don't have that family support or, you know, have a supportive family who perhaps just can't afford to give them that financial support. What's your advice there?
So my advice there is conduct some research. Speak to somebody like Sally, a broker, someone that is an independent that can scan the market, because there are less conventional, shall we say, routes to access the property ladder. So there are products and solutions out there. We've got something called Income Booster. Other lenders do something similar, whereby it might be that you need a bit of an affordability support and an income boost to help assess your affordability. But there are different routes and mechanisms to get there. So speak to somebody early doors to see what your options might be.
Thank you. Right. Let's hear from Joyce next. Now, she emailed us about her interest-only mortgage. Her words, though, are being spoken by one of the team.
I had an interest-only mortgage and came to the end of the term. I'd never missed a payment. But because of my age, I'm 80 this year, it's too difficult to find a new mortgage. I was paying £154 a month, but then it went up and I'm now paying £1,300 a month and I can't afford it. So I've had to put my house up for sale, but I still have to pay the mortgage until I move. This is the first month I haven't paid the full £1,300 and I'm being charged. I'm in an awful position as the equity in my house is disappearing and I was going to buy an apartment. Can I ask for some of the penalty costs to be cancelled by the mortgage provider?
I mean, a really difficult position at any age. You have to really feel for Joyce, though, going through that at 80. Richard, before we get to Joyce's question, we've been talking about the number of people who are behind in their repayments hitting a seven-year high. Are you seeing people struggling with that at Step Change?
We are seeing an increase in the number of people who are coming to us who are struggling with their mortgages and making it very difficult for them to make those payments. What I would say is those numbers are increasing but still seem relatively small. That's not necessarily because people aren't falling behind and struggling. It's often because the mortgage is the last thing that they're going to fall behind on. So the pain is being felt elsewhere. They're potentially missing other payments that aren't their mortgage. They're potentially using their credit card and building up unsustainable debts elsewhere. So just because we're not necessarily seeing in the stats a huge, huge surge in mortgage arrears at this point, I think that pain is being felt with people taking out credit and getting into debt elsewhere at the moment, unfortunately.
Okay, what can Joyce do?
I would say, again, important to get independent advice on the situation. It does sound incredibly difficult, and that's an enormous increase in the amount that she's paying. She could also look at things like equity release, potentially. If she wanted to stay in the home, there are products that she might be able to take out using equity release that would allow her to pay off the balance of her interest-only mortgage that could potentially allow her to stay in her house if that was a product that she would be open to. But all of those things should be discussed with an independent mortgage advisor in the first instance.
Mm. Charlotte, it's a worry, isn't it? Somebody having that issue at the age of 80, that limits their choices. Do you have any advice?
I think so. What's helpful that we heard there from Joyce is that she's taking action. Mm. So she's actively looking at marketing her property. And so I think the key thing for her is talk to the lender about that. So if they can see that Joyce wants to work on that situation and she wants to resolve it, they should work with her to try and support her with that. And there might be solutions to give her some breathing space on those payments in the meantime, to make sure that she's still protecting the equity in her property, that she's able to buy the flat that she wants to do, and she's able to do so without an overly additional stressful move.
Sally, with an interest-only mortgage, don't lenders have to consider whether or not the customer has a plan to repay the actual debt?
Yes, you have to declare what your plan is, your exit strategy. I mean, interest only is inherently more risky than a capital repayment option, because at the end of the term, you still owe that initial sum that you borrowed. And quite often, if someone is, not in Joyce's case, 80 maybe, but coming up for retirement, lived in their family home, brought their children up there, if the only option to pay back that money is to sell, sometimes that's not really what they want to do. And also, you run the risk potentially that the house is not worth what you think it should be. And also, where are you going to move to? If you have to give back all that money, what's left for you when you're potentially older to buy a new property?
And we've heard on this programme in the past from some older people having to move away from their support networks, from where they have everybody
awful.
They need.
I think that's it. It's the whole mental stress. Every story we've heard, people are in pretty dire need of support.
Well, let's look at some of the emails that we've had. Actually, Mark has been in touch on X. He says it's more of an issue than a question. Many lenders seem to have extortionate standard variable rates to which the mortgages revert when existing deals end. And he says they're clearly exploiting customers who are waiting and hoping that rates will fall before signing up to a new fixed rate. Sally, what kind of SVRs are we seeing? Richard, I can hear you chuckling. We'll come to you in a minute.
I think that might be me chuckling.
Is it?
Because I think Charlotte's going to be next to this. I see, you know, this week, for example, a couple of deals. One SVR was 6.99, which is fairly reasonable. The next one I saw was 8.75. So a huge difference. And there seems to be no rhyme or reason. I'm sure every lender has their own perspective and business plan, but it can make a huge difference. I mean, an SVR is the last thing I ever want my clients to fall onto. Instead of doing that, you're much better off looking at other products, for example, discounted trackers, that are much more reasonable. You know, if it's that flexibility of not being tied into a fixed term that you need, do look at other options. And again, you know, don't just look at the website, go to a broker and get them to look at the whole market for you.
Sally, thank you. And Richard, I quit you of chuckling. Charlotte, why are standard variable rates usually higher than other options? Can you give us a lender's perspective?
Yes. So I think one of the, and it's referenced in the question, I suppose, which is, you know, people are going on to standard variable rates as a wait and see option, and therefore there's a price premium with providing more flexibility from a lender's perspective. I think the Sally chuckling and referencing Skipton is we are a lender that's actively managed our standard variable rate to a lower level, so we are one of the lowest rates in the market, which I'm very pleased about. But I think it is that flexibility. But the key point is exactly what Sally was saying, which is that doesn't have to be the option even if you still want the flexibility. So look around in the market.
Look around. Lots of you getting in touch in this, inevitably. Sajid has emailed in to say he would like to see a long-term low-rate mortgage product where borrowers could predict their repayments over a long period of time. He says it would really help first-time buyers. Sally, really briefly, in a word, are we seeing those longer-term products coming to market?
They are being talked about and they're being mooted by various members of the government. It's a much more common thing in the States and in Holland and Germany. It doesn't really fit our market profile particularly well.
But we will probably talk about it in the future. Thank you so much. That is all we have time for in today's Moneybox Live podcast. Thank you so much to everybody who took part. And thank you, of course, to our panel. We've been hearing from Sally Mitchell, senior mortgage broker at The Mortgage Mum, from Richard Lane of the charity Step Change, and Charlotte Harrison from Skipton Building Society. If there's a topic you want us to take a look at, then tell us. You can email moneybox@bbc.co.uk. Please include a phone number if you can. In this podcast, the producer was Neil Morrow, production coordinator Luke Smithhurst, studio manager Cameron Ward. Our editor is Jess Quayle. I'm Felicity Hannah, and this was a BBC News Money and Work production for BBC Sounds.
Hi, I'm India Rackerson, and I want to tell you a story. It's the story of you. In our series, Child, from BBC Radio 4, I'm going to be exploring how a fetus develops and is influenced by the world from the very get-go. Then, in the middle of the series, we take a deep look at the mechanics and politics of birth, turning a light on our struggling maternity services and exploring how the impact of birth on a mother affects us all. Then we're going to look at the incredible feat of human growth and learning in the first 12 months of life. Whatever shape the journey takes, this is a story that helps us know our world. Listen on BBC Sounds.